Daniel chapter 10, verse 19. O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Hallelujah. Jesus lives. Despite that Easter celebration, the prophet Daniel, in the weeks before this text, had been mourning. The Lord had given him an amazing countdown, 486 years in counting, until the Messiah comes to die for your sins and arise for your justification. So why was he mourning? Well, a few years before this, Daniel had once again read God's prophecy that the Lord would bring an end to the Jewish captivity in its 70th year. Daniel, you recall, was among the first captives, so he knew by his age those 70 years were virtually up. But God had foretold it would happen through Cyrus. And Daniel also knew there was no one on the political landscape named Cyrus. And yet suddenly, Cyrus swept down out of the hills, swooped over the Babylonian Empire, and decreed that the Jews could go home. Build, he declared, your city and your temple. So, why was Daniel mourning now? Well, a few years later, the news from Jerusalem was that even though the Lord had rent open the heavens to give them this deliverance, yet the Jewish people that had returned were not building the temple, but just their own paneled homes. They were not focused on the glory of the daily sacrifice proclaiming the forgiveness of sins and the coming of Christ, but on the pleasures of this life. And now the political situation appeared to be changing so that they might be forbidden from ever building that temple. Daniel was also mourning because the Lord had given him a vision of the next 500 years of Jewish history. A history of trouble. Overrun by the Grecian and then the Roman empires. To such an extent that God even in detail describes how one of those Grecian kings ruling over the Syrian aspect, Antiochus Epiphanes, would fight, verse 28, against the Lord's covenant. Verse 31, take away the daily sacrifices and set up instead the abomination of desolation. He marched his armies right into the Lord's temple, sacrificed a sow on the Lord's altar, desecrated the whole temple with its blood, made that pig into broth, and forced the Jews to drink it or die. In the midst of such a vision of the future, Daniel was overwhelmed with sorrow. What about you? Would you like to see a vision of your future in this world? Sickness, wars, disaster. That's what's coming in this world. But now a man touched Daniel's shoulder, and he said to him, O greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Peace? How can we call it peace to live in such a situation of trouble. The man who spoke these words to Daniel, we're told, was clothed in linen with a pure gold breastplate. His eyes were of a fire blaze that looked through him. His mouth spoke with a volume like a great multitude. His feet were of bronze. The fire of this man's eyes looks also through you and me. Looks into our hearts and writes down our every intent. Looks into our minds and writes down every thought. Looks into the deepest, darkest pods of forgotten memory and writes down each misdeed. His thundering voice can only proclaim of us condemned sinners. And yet, he speaks to Daniel, not, "I'm going to crush you like a bug under my brass feet," but, "O Daniel, greatly beloved, fear not." You and I have met this man also. For this same man appears in the first chapter of Revelation, where he then says to us, "I am he who lives and was dead and am alive forevermore." Daniel has seen the lightning flash of the risen Christ appearing to him, speaking that assurance of his grace. Like Daniel, you and I, seeing his holiness, can only fall at his feet confessing, "I have sinned." But this man came into this world, he died, and he arose so that he can touch you on the shoulder as he did Daniel and say to you, "You are greatly beloved. Fear not. Peace be to you." So that, yes, in the very midst of sickness, wars, disasters of this world, he says, "My peace I give to you. Your sins have been forgiven. Eternal life given." Hallelujah. Jesus lives. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 188, stanzas 1 and 3.